Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the show that explores the background of Tolkien's amazing world from the very beginning.
All right, welcome back to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, friends. I have to apologize right here at the top of the episode for missing last week. I've been pretty knocked out the last week and a half with very flu-like symptoms. Now, this is a little inside baseball, but I got my flu shot and I tried to do the best that I can in order to, you know, not get sick. But this definitely felt like a flu, even though there's really no reason for it to be a flu because I went to the doctor, they checked everything. I didn't show up positive for any of the flus or for COVID or anything like that, but it has kicked me out, kicked my butt. Let's just say that. And you probably could still hear it in my voice, so I apologize if this isn't the best quality recording, but I wanted to make sure that I got an episode up this week, so thank you for your patience and for your kind words on the Patreon, where I notify everybody. If you're not on there as a free member, in order to make sure that you can get notifications for what's going on with episodes, especially if I take a week off, then head over there, make sure you're part of our community. So with all that said, I apologize if my voice doesn't sound super great this episode, but definitely wanted to make sure I got one out for all of you. So let's get into it. This episode, this week, we are finally getting to meet Bjorn, which is wonderful because Bjorn is such an interesting character. And there are many interesting characters in The Hobbit. I mean, that's kind of one of the really enjoyable parts of the book. But Bjorn is different. He's different for a number of reasons. First, in my mind, is the fact that he only shows up in The Hobbit. He doesn't show up in The Lord of the Rings. So this is our only opportunity to get to meet him. He's also the kind of character who shows up at this point in the book, but then we get a return visit later, which is kind of a Chekhov's gun kind of thing. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but in writing and writing a story, literature, movie scripts, things like that, the idea is if you reveal a gun early in the story and it doesn't show back up later, then why did you reveal the gun earlier in the story? There needs to be a reason for everything that happens in the story and every little mini arc. We get this kind of mini arc going on with Bjorn. Well, hatred of goblins is a big part of his character, but there are also parts of his character that make him even more interesting. Of course, he's a man who can turn into a bear, or is he a bear who can turn into a man? Gandalf, of course, speculates that it's the former rather than the later. But that's not the only thing that's interesting about him. You have to remember that at this point in the story, we are firmly in the realm of the fairy. This journey is a journey into magic and mystery, and I can't say M words because my nose is still stuffy, so I apologize. But in that realm of the Fae, as Tolkien describes, it is a world where things are both magical and beautiful and dangerous at the same time. And a character like Bjorn really inhabits this. He is unpredictable. He is majestic in his stature, his size, the ability to skin change. And yet, he is dangerous. This feels like a comfortable location, but they are walking into a foreigner's world, his land, his rules. And we'll see here in this section of the chapter how things don't operate the way that everybody else would expect that they do. So here, let's get into it. Let's go meet Bjorn. So last time we left off, and Gandalf is giving warnings about how they are about to approach this very interesting character. And he's talked a little bit about the skin changing and things like that. And the very next paragraph, he says, at any rate, he is under no enchantment but his own in regards to his skin changing. And I find this line particularly interesting because it seems to convey multiple things all in one simple line of text. Also worth noting here before we get into my dissection of this text is the fact that Tolkien does two things very regularly, and I've pointed this out a little bit, but I want to put them both in the same place right here. First of all, he writes these very complex sentences with lots of commas and semicolons, and it feels like an entire paragraph all functionally working as one sentence in order to get lots of details in. But then he also does this other thing where he will write a simple sentence that conveys so much because of its precise use of words and language, and yet leaves so much open to interpretation. So here, let's dig into this one. At any rate, he is under no enchantment but his own. So what does this actually mean? It seems like it's a funny way to say that he's naturally that way, a man who can turn into a bear. But it's almost like it's implying that he's actively this way. Like, he wasn't always this way, but somehow changed himself into it. So it depends on the scope in which you view this sentence. If it's a much more narrow scope, then the idea is simply that he's not under somebody else's enchantment. This wasn't a curse or something given to him. This is just how he is. But if you broaden out that scope and you ask the question of, well, why is this the way he is? It opens up the possibility that, well, maybe he's not just naturally like this. Maybe this is some sort of magic of his own design or making. Kind of like he wasn't born with this ability, but somehow garnered this ability later. This isn't a topic that gets discussed very much. In fact, it's pretty securely understood in the community that Bjorn is a type of man like many other of his ancestors who have this ability. But I wanted to point out the ambiguity in the sentence, because it does make you, if you sit and look at it long enough, it makes you have questions. And that's part of the beauty of this text, is it doesn't just give you the answers to everything. It allows your mind to wander and to speculate. It gets its hooks in you. This paragraph goes on. It talks about how he lives in these oak woods with a great wooden house. And I'm going to again point out every time that Tolkien specifically points towards nature, especially plants and trees and those kinds of things. Oak wood, a wooden home. These are signals that this is a very naturally living person. This is not somebody who works under industry and destroys the land, but works in symbiosis with the land. And we're going to see more of that as we go forward. He keeps cattle and horses, and we're told here that they're nearly as marvelous as himself. And we learn why. They work for him, so he's like lord of the land, and yet they can talk to him. Then we also find out that he does not eat them. He has cattle on his land, but not for food. Well, not specifically to murder them for their meat, but instead for their milk. And we'll find out as we go on that he doesn't eat the animals, but he does use them for their resources in a non-harmful way. He is in symbiosis with these creatures. Basically, they make things for him and he makes things for them. They live in harmony together. We're also told that he doesn't hunt, he doesn't eat wild animals, which goes directly against this idea that he's a bear man. You would assume that a bear is a carnivore, and yet he's not. On top of that, he keeps a great hive of fierce bees that are, again, living harmoniously with him. They produce honey, and he gives them a place to live, and again, treats them in a non-harmful way. And then Gandalf gives us this description. I heard him growl in the tongue of bears. The day will come when they will perish, and I shall go back. That is why I believe he once came from the mountains himself. So Gandalf has spent some time watching and even listening to Bjorn, but Bjorn, we'll find out, is not familiar with Gandalf, which is another interesting point. But I think the more interesting point here is the fact that we learn that there is a tongue of bears. So it's not so much like the cattle and the horses or whoever speak in the common tongue, so much as they speak in their own tongues, and yet these animals can understand each other. The growls of a bear are actually a language, at least for some of them. This further confirms that we are strongly into the land of the fairy. The animals can talk. This is a very fairy tale convention. But the way that it's done here feels more serious. And the story as a whole is becoming more serious as it goes on. And yet, we do get these moments of levity still. Bilbo felt so hungry that he would have eaten acorns if any had been ripe enough yet to have fallen to the ground. And I think that there's still something funny about that. This idea that, like, well, yeah, he's hungry, hungry enough to eat acorns, gross, but it is a little silly to think about a hobbit picking up acorns and trying to eat them. I'm sure that doesn't work out very well. Then they're getting closer and they notice great patches of flowers. Now, this is doing two things. It's noticing again the nature around them. But the narrator points out that it seems as if they're grouped together like they've been planted there. Like somebody has been tending this field of flowers, and we're not yet on the property, well, proper, the proper area of the property, but we're kind of still on the outskirts of Bjorn's area, but it implies that he extends his land out into these areas and that he's probably the someone who is planting these flowers in these fields. And why would he do that? Well, let's keep moving. It says there was clover, weaving patches of coxcomb clover and purple clover and wide stretches of short, white, sweet, honey-smelling clover. I didn't realize there were this many different types of clover until I read this passage. And of course, the bees are everywhere. Bilbo says in another moment of levity, if one was to sting me, he thought, I should swell up as big again as I am. And the way that that's phrased is so good, because it's not said here. Tolkien doesn't say, I would swell up to twice my size. That's not funny. But if you say, as big again as I am, there's something that's just more funny about that. And then we finally learn that these drones, these bees, are bigger than hornets. In fact, they're bigger than your thumb. These are big, fat, juicy bees who seem to be thriving in order to get as large as they are. Or maybe we're just again in the land of the Fae, where things are not always what they seem. Gandalf then lets them know, we're getting near. We're on the edge of his bee pastures. Gandalf knows that that's what this means. These giant bees, these groups of flowers, the flowers and the bees work together. They're symbiotic. It makes sense that Bjorn would have planted flowers in order for the bees to use the flowers in order to make the honey. It all works together. It's a system that is intentional. This is not accidental. Then we get to the edge of the property, and again, very ancient oaks. Now, these oaks are more ancient. This is an older part of this area. And there's a high thorn hedge. Now, this high thorn hedge is not something that occurs strictly naturally. I'm sure it does occur in nature. Obviously, it's a plant. But it seems to be something that has been designed to create an actual barrier. The same way that we would use, say, a fence with barbed wire. This high thorn hedge is a natural version of that in order to create a boundary that builds safety around this property. And then Gandalf says, hey, you all better wait here. We're going to move forward with this plan to go two by two, like they had been discussing. And he explains to them, only come in pairs, mind, about 5 minutes between each pair of you. Two at a time. And then, of course, we get this other moment of levity. Bomber is fattest and will do for two. That is so direct. And maybe the world worked different in 1937, where you could just simply say to one of the members of your group, well, you're the fattest, so you get to come last by yourself because you're basically the size of two people. Again, I think this is made for humor. Probably not the kind of thing you just tell everyone, but when you're Gandalf, you can get away with things like that. And then he says, come on, Mr. Baggins. And you have to think about it. Okay, they're going to a situation where they're about to present themselves to the lord of this land. Now, think of it like that. He is not just a woodsman who can turn into a bear who happens to have a farm. No, he sees himself as lord of this land. and the animals that live on this land are his people. He is of noble stock, but a different kind of noble stock, and should be approached like a lord, like somebody who actually believes that they are in charge of the land, because they actually are. You're not just going up to some farm in the middle of nowhere, knocking on the door and saying, hey, you got any extra food we could get from you and maybe directions on where to go to the next town? No, this is a different kind of thing. As they enter in, we get descriptions of these wooden buildings and the barns and stables and sheds and the shape of the house. And all of this, again, is designed in harmony. There's gardens. Everything's made out of wood. But clearly, the trees have been abundant around this property and been replaced. So again, we're at harmony here. They push open the gate, and I love this description. It says, the heavy creaking gate, and went down a wide track toward the house. Little details like this, not just the visual details, but the sounds. How many times has Tolkien, up to this point, described the way the world sounds around them? There's something about describing the sounds in a book like this that kind of upgrades the visuals. If you describe just a visual, if you said a big wooden gate, that would be one thing. But when you add heavy creaking, like this deep creaking sound to it, it's like you're imagining in HD all of a sudden, or in 4K. You just upgraded your imagination. Now might be the best time ever to pick up a new language. Now, you might plan on traveling in the future, or advancing your career, or maybe you just love learning something new. I've mentioned countless times how I find it so fascinating that J.R.R. Tolkien was so into all of these different languages and how much he had learned to speak and also understand the language at such a detailed level. And that inspires me to learn more about these things, like the Norse languages that were used for the names of the dwarves and Gandalf. All of that stuff is so cool. And that's why I'm excited to have Rosetta Stone as our sponsor this week. They offer 25 different languages, and they have 30 years of experience teaching everybody using a process that is faster to learn, and you retain the information longer. It's also great for learning pronunciation, and you can do it wherever you are, whenever you want, right on your desktop or your mobile app. So don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Lord of the Rings Lorecast listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
And then they get to see some of these horses. They're described as having intelligent faces. Now, what makes a horse have an intelligent face may be the way it makes eye contact with you in a way that's different from other horses. But these are large horses. They're very aware of what's going on. And then they head off back to the buildings, and Gandalf lets us know they have gone to tell him of the arrival of strangers. Gandalf knows what's going on here. Now, that's not due to the fact that he's been here before. It's due to the fact that he is familiar with the ways of these types of animals. They continue in through the courtyard, and we finally get a glimpse of Bjorn. He's described as a huge man with a thick black beard and hair and great bear arms, B-A-R-E, not bear as in, he was like a man with bear arms? No, arms that were unclothed, and legs with knotted muscles. He's a very muscular, large man. He wears a tunic of wool down to his knees, which would have been very common to people in this kind of setting. A tunic is kind of like just a very long, comfy shirt. It's like wearing, you know, when people would wear like those oversized shirts as pajamas to bed. It's kind of like that sort of, but made out of wool. Again, a material that doesn't harm the animal when it's taken from the animal. And then we also learn that he's leaning on a large axe, an axe large enough to lean on, and he's a big guy, so that must be a very large axe. And the horses were standing by him with their noses at his shoulder. Now, I looked into this. The average size of a horse compared to the average size of a man also means that the nose of the horse is roughly at the shoulder of a man. If you've spent any time around horses, of course, there's different size horses and different size people. But on average, that's a very normal picture. But when you imagine that this is a very large man, that also means that these are very large horses. And then we get his first dialogue. "Oh, here they are," he said to the horses. "They don't look dangerous. You can be off." Which implies something. It implies that the horses said that some dangerous people have entered his property, or something like that. They might be dangerous. But all we see here is Gandalf and Bilbo, not the dwarves. The dwarves are the ones who look dangerous. Imagine this scene from Bjorn's perspective. Bjorn is there working in his yard. The horses come up and say something like, "Hey, we have some visitors." Bjorn says, "Okay, well, who are they?" "Well, I don't know. We haven't met them before." "What do they look like?" "Well, they, I don't know. They might be dangerous." "Okay, well, let's see. I'll be ready." And then these two show up. Someone who looks like a grandpa and someone who looks like a child. They are not particularly dangerous looking, and Gandalf knew that. And on top of it, of all the dwarves, except for maybe Thorin or Balin, Bilbo is the most proper. He's the one who is most likely to bow and greet Bjorn with an air of respect. And so he starts laughing and puts down his axe, which makes us wonder, okay, is this a jolly fellow? But then he very gruffly changes his tone and says, "Who are you and what do you want?" Very direct. "All right, what's the deal? Who are you? What do you want?" No pleasantries, just get to the point. And then we get this description that he is towering above Gandalf. He is, in fact, a very large man. And then we get this. "As for Bilbo, he could easily have trotted through his legs without ducking his head to miss the fringe of the man's brown tunic." Another kind of silly point of saying, well, he was so large that Bilbo could just walk between his legs, which puts this in, like, scale. I mean, think about that. Bilbo couldn't walk between my legs. I'm a very average height, you know, American male. For Bilbo to walk between his legs, and a hobbit on average is about 3 feet, 6 inches tall, or 1.1 meters. I know that my crotch is not that far from the ground. So Bjorn must be a very tall fellow. And the more you think about it, it would have to be wide enough for Bilbo's head to fit between the legs, which means he has to be even taller. He's a tall guy. So Gandalf responds, "I am Gandalf," said the wizard. Just simply his name, no description of what he is. He doesn't say, "I am a wizard." All he says is, "I am Gandalf." And then Bjorn growls, "Never heard of him." "Then what's this little fellow?" And then he stoops down to Bilbo and looks at him, and we get this response from Gandalf. "That is Mr. Baggins, a hobbit of good family and unimpeachable reputation." Notice the difference in response. He doesn't give his own background, but he gives Bilbo's, because his own background would be mysterious and would raise a lot of questions. "I'm a wizard." He knows not everybody trusts wizards. Wizards often have their own agendas. They can be threatening because they are powerful. They are magical. They rarely go anywhere without some sort of goal or reason for being there. But Mr. Baggins is a hobbit from a good family with an unimpeachable reputation. It goes on. And Bilbo bows. He had no hat to take off and was painfully conscious of his many missing buttons. So already he's feeling improper in the eyes of the lord of this land. And then Gandalf, who he is, in second order. Notice how important this is. He puts Bjorn at ease at first and then reveals that he's a wizard. And he says, "I have heard of you if you have not heard of me, but perhaps you have heard of my good cousin Radagast, who lives near the southern borders of Mirkwood." So immediately he understands that by saying I'm a wizard, he's going to raise suspicions, but then draws a connection to the exact wizard whose job it is to understand nature, to be in the wilds, to be somebody that Bjorn may have come across and is more likely to be not only familiar with, but potentially friends with. Radagast would know who Bjorn is for sure. He would understand everything about this part of the world and what's going on here and why Bjorn is the way he is. And we get Bjorn's response. Yes, not a bad fellow as wizards go, I believe. Ah. I used to see him now and again, said Bjorn. Well, now I know who you are, or who you say you are. What do you want? So in Gandalf's mind, he has succeeded here. He has worked against Bjorn's natural distrust of strangers and drawn a connection to somebody who he thinks isn't a bad fellow. And they don't look threatening. So the conversation continues. So Gandalf explains to him that they've lost their luggage, they were waylaid, they're in need of help, or at least advice. And then he ends the sentence with something intentional. Again, this conversation is extremely intentional. We had a rather bad time with goblins in the mountains. He knows from watching Bjorn and the things that Bjorn has said before that Bjorn has no love of the goblins. So if they are enemies of these goblins, then maybe they're friends of his. Bjorn responds, goblins? Oh ho, so you've been having trouble with them, have you? What did you go near them for? Good question. Why were you even near the goblins? What were you doing? And Gandalf responds, well, we didn't mean to. We're just traveling and we happened to come across them and, you know, things kind of went sideways, basically. And this is the card. Is that a way to say it? This is the thing that sparks Bjorn's curiosity. And now he needs to know more. Because any information about the goblins is information that he's interested in. You'd better come inside and tell me more of it, if it won't take all day. And he leads to this dark door that opened out from the courtyard into the house. They follow him in, and we get this description of this wide hall with a fireplace. And this odd description of the fireplace, though it was summer, there was a wood fire burning and the smoke was rising to the blackened rafters in search of the way out through an opening in the roof. Again, the description of the wood, almost like it's, well, the smoke, almost like it has its own ability to make decisions. It's searching, it's active. And maybe the smoke is, because everything in this strange world seems to be more alive, more aware than the regular world. They pass through this dim hall lit only by the fire and the hole above it. So it's not cold, yet he keeps a fire going. Maybe for light? It seems like the only reason it's going is for light. The warmth isn't as important here, and it's a big hall, so he would need a certain amount of light, and it makes sense to maybe burn the wood rather than candles, and making candles is a tedious process, so maybe that's why he has the setup the way he does. And we get more reminders about how this is all built out of wood. This is a hall that is in harmony with the land around it. The wood can be regrown. And they head out into the back, and we find that there is a garden full of flowers that came right up to the steps. And this seems to confirm the idea that Bjorn is the one who planted the flowers on the way in. And in fact, he planted them on his own property, outside his very back door. Probably for two reasons. Of course, the bees like the flowers, but Bjorn probably likes the flowers as well. Why plant them in a garden right behind your house if it isn't for your own enjoyment? He probably enjoys sitting among the flowers on his own property. And this episode, we're going to end with this paragraph. Here they sat on wooden benches while Gandalf began his tale, and Bilbo swung his dangling legs and looked at the flowers in the garden, wondering what their names could be, as he had never seen half of them before. thank you again to all of you for your patience as I've been recovering. I really do appreciate the kind words. And some of you comment and some of you send messages. And I don't always respond to everybody, but I really do appreciate it. It is nice to have this community. And I mentioned this multiple times about having people who all love the same thing together. I also got, I just want to share this before we get to the Patreon stuff. I got an email and I thought this was really cool. It was from a listener in Iran. Right? Iran is not one of the places on the planet where people are generally free to access things made in other countries or certain other countries. It is very limited. And I have a limited amount of information on this, but I did learn more about this in this email. And this listener, you know who you are, I'm not going to spill any names or anything, was so kind and so thankful for this podcast. And I love the idea that even people in parts of the world that come from, well, let's just say are under governments that make it very difficult for us to connect as human beings with other people who love the same things we love, found a way to access these episodes and wanted to thank me for doing the show and making their day better. And that, it gives me chills. Like, it's the sort of thing I opened up. I saw the email in the morning. It was one of the first things I read, and I was just, it just made the rest of my day. And that was amazing. And on top of it, they said that because of where they are and the limitations, that they would support the Patreon, but they just don't have the ability to do so. And I totally get that. And so I hope you've seen the response email I sent out, and I attached for you the first four bonus episodes. There's over 100 bonus episodes at this point. I can't send all of them. That would be a little bit weird to just be like, here's the entire catalog of everything. But because you can't access the Patreon, I thought it would be a nice gift to be able to at least get a few extra bonus episodes. Just as thanks for reaching out and being such an awesome person. I think good people in this world who do kind things need to be rewarded. So there you go. Thank you so much. All right, let's talk about some other good people. We have Elizaveta K and Aldarion Was Right. Oh, wow. And Leon C. Welcome to the Patreon, our new patron members. Thank you so much for your support. And we have to shout out all of our VIP patrons. So let's get through it as fast as I can. AK Music Lover, Aldarion Was Right, Apollo, Atle Morton, Azel Razel, Barney D, Bo, Brandy D, Callie Cat, Cutter Metalworks, Daniel Nightweaver, David S., David M., Divine Madman, Fulcrum, George B., Gerald CFC, Gimli A Break, George, or I messed up, Ginger Fury, definitely not George, Huan Is My Hero, Jezzer, Katie S., Capenna, Lori B., Mason Weathertop, Nick K., Richard J., Rivqua, TJT, Tom's the Bombadil, and Tour Son of Hoor. Thank you for being my VIP patrons. I'm so glad that you are here and continue to support the show. We actually got this one other thing. We've got a new review on Apple Podcasts. So again, reminder, if you'd like to help out, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. My dog is barking in the background. I don't know what he's doing. But here, we're going to read this one out. It's from Rough Storm Surge, who writes, absolutely amazing podcast. I have always loved Tolkien's words. Having first read The Hobbit in 2 days from cover to cover, but the hardest read was The Silmarillion. But Tom really makes everything I read make sense and has even made me want to reread the entire Middle Earth set. That is an endeavor, for sure. He has such a rich knowledge and a way of breaking it down that reminds me of my favorite history teacher in high school. Oh, that's cool. I'm only to the breakdown of Turin, but I am fully addicted. Keep up the amazing work, and thank you for all you do. Well, thank you so much. Such kind words. Thanks, everybody, for your continued support. And I know I keep saying that, but I mean it, and so I have to keep saying it. You guys are the best. And in the bonus episode, I'm actually going to be covering a letter, one of Tolkien's letters, as I've been going through his book of all of his letters. There's one in particular I think will be very interesting, and it's very Hobbit focused, or at least a little Hobbit focused. And we're gonna break that down in the bonus episode. So if you're one of the patrons who gets those, I'll see you over there. To everybody else, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. If you'd like to learn more about other fantasy worlds, check out my other podcasts, The Elder Scrolls Lorecast, The Witcher Lorecast, and more at robotsradio.net. If you'd like to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note on Twitter at robots_radio or join our amazing community on the Robots Radio Discord. There are links in the show notes, or just search Robots Radio Discord or find the link on robotsradio.net. I'll see you next time.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
GEICO makes it easy to get affordable renter's insurance in as little as 90 seconds. That way, you have more energy for harder things, like the laundry. Why is it so difficult to fold clothes? They just end up wrinkly anyway, or on the floor in a pile that just sits there, taunting you. But with renter's insurance through GEICO, at least you know that those clothes and the other things you love are covered. Get more with GEICO.